Okay, let me officially welcome everyone to today's Conversations with the Masters call with our guest, Shakti Gawain. My name is Mary Allen, and I'm known as America's Inner Peace Coach and author of The Power of Inner Choice, and of course, your host for this Conversations with the Masters series. Before I officially introduce Shakti, I want to welcome our listeners and really sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us spread the word about these calls. The call is being recorded, so you're going to be able to go back, listen again, refer a friend to listen, and if you're pre-registered for the call, which is how you got on today's call, you're going to be receiving a special follow-up email tomorrow with information how to access that. And I just have to say that we have wanted to have Shakti as our guest for Conversations with the Masters for quite a while now. When I was introduced to her books about, almost 20 years ago, her work had such a profound impact on my life. And I voraciously read each of her books, reading many of them more than once. So it's a real honor to have this woman with us here today. For those of you that don't know Shakti, and I know many of you are already huge fans, which is why you're here, so you can hear her live and tap into her energy vibration live. But if you're new to her, she is a best-selling author and a true pioneer in the field of personal growth and consciousness. Her many books, totaling now 12 books, have sold more than 10 million copies in over 35 languages worldwide, and she has facilitated thousands of individuals in developing greater awareness, balance, and wholeness in their lives. She's appeared on nationally syndicated shows like Oprah, Good Morning America, Larry King Show. She's been featured in Cosmopolitan, Time, and O magazines. And along with Mark Allen, Shakti has co-founded New World Library, which was in 1977. So a lot of people know Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, and so many amazing transformational books. And we've got one of the women that's behind this organization, and she lives in Marin County, California. So Shakti, and I'm going to make sure I say your name correctly.
Yeah, the first one's hard, too.
Right, I know. It's like Shakti.
Very complicated. You know what I tell people for the Shakti? Think of an electric shock and then a cup of tea.
Oh, there we go. Shakti. That makes it really easy. So welcome, welcome. And I so apologize for, I hate mispronouncing names, so.
Oh, no big deal.
Well, welcome, welcome. And I'm so excited that, it's hard to believe, too, that your book, Living in the Light, which is one of, all of your books are extraordinary. Living in the Light is truly one of my favorites, and originally written about 25 years ago, and you've just released a fully updated version of the book, which I've been devouring, and it seems like you just wrote it yesterday because of, how you've updated it feels so present time. So maybe the place to start is just to talk about why the ideas in your book, Living in the Light, are so especially important in our day today.
Okay. Well, I did write about all of this 25 years ago, which is interesting. And, I just think that the times we're in right now, it's like we've just gone deeper and deeper and learned more about being conscious and living consciously, both individually and collectively. And, I know that it looks like there's so many terrible things happening in the world right now, and there are. And I think also, though, it's kind of like we are in our own individual process. It sometimes takes some pain, big challenge to meet the challenges that we're having right now. But I believe that we can use everything that we're learning, both in terms of transforming our own lives, but also, very importantly, having the effect on the collective. the collective life has its mirrors what's going on inside of us, and then what's going on inside of us as individuals also reflects the collective life. And so it's kind of I like to think of it as a healing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our own lives that are difficult, that are challenging, but that ultimately are taking us exactly where we need to go in terms of learning and growth.
Absolutely. And it's so true that as we shift and transform on the inside, even the way that we perceive challenges in the world and what's going on in the world is so radically different than if we were to just do, you know, human life without doing any inner work.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm just really delighted with Living the Light again. I'm glad that you did a reprint and it's getting infused out into the world yet again. Of course, one of your other... Yeah, please do.
No, you go ahead. I'll do this after.
Okay.
Yeah, you finish your train of thought.
Well, I was gonna point us a little bit to also one of your other books, Creative Visualization, and we'll really spend the majority of this interview talking about some of the key concepts in Living the Light. But since Creative Visualization is also one of your hallmark books and a book that has impacted so many, I was going to point to that. So if there's something related to what we just talked about, go ahead.
Well, I just was, what was I going to say? Now I forgot. I forget a lot these days. I just have to let it go and then it usually comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me again what you just said.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's I have a feeling we will pull forth everything that needs to be addressed in this call, because, I mean, and that is really the essence of what your book is really about, is really this whole trusting process and allowing things to flow forth instead of trying to control every single detail in life. So we're going to bring that forth, of course, on today's call. But let's spend a little bit of time talking about creative visualization. You know, what is creative visualization? How it's done? How it works? Talk a little bit about that. How creative visualization? Well, first off, what it is, and how it works.
Okay, it's very simple, really. It's the ability to imagine what you want as if it were already so. So, you know, to be able to picture or imagine, and I don't get hung up on picturing, because you don't have to have a mental picture. You can just have a feeling or a sense of it. But it's like picking something that you or that is important to you and that you want to have in your life, or it can be also very mundane things like getting a new place to live or whatever. Anything that you in your heart are wanting or feeling like you need to create in your life, you simply imagine it as if it were already so. And then you let go, and you don't try to make it happen or force it to happen or push it to happen. You just keep imagining it as if it were happening or has happened. And you it's important to keep it in the present tense as opposed to, oh, I wish I had or I want to have. It's more like, here I am with what I want, or here I am feeling the way I want to feel.
And that's really one of the key things, is really the feeling of it already happening.
Yes, that's what makes it real. And, you know, I'm sure you've had experiences where you were imagining something that you wanted, and then it started to feel like, wow, this really could happen. So my book, Creative Visualization, gives a whole lot of different exercises and techniques, but the basic one is whatever you do to imagine something that you want to have happen.
Mm-hmm. Really important.
And then if it's right for you, I mean, if it's right for you and it's right timing, then it's often very surprising what will happen. Of course, it isn't guaranteed or anything, but it's often surprising how things will start to fall into place, or some door will open, you know, that's the right one. And this is just a way of getting more clear on what you want and what's important to you and what you need right now.
Well, and I've certainly had so many situations. Boy, if I since I've read your book, if I were to count how many of those situations have come to life, it's a long list, from manifesting homes on oceanfront beach at a ridiculously low price, and you know, relationships in life, and I know it blows my mind at how quickly it can work when we really just surrender to the process and not try and manipulate it a whole lot and not trying to be too attached to the outcome.
Yeah. And if it doesn't seem to be working at any given moment, if you're really wanting something and it just doesn't seem to be happening, there's a couple of possibilities. One is that it really just isn't actually the right thing for you, and you will discover that as you go along. The other possibility is that it may be something that's right for you, but you're not quite ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So something that you think, oh, I'm ready, I want this. If it's not happening, if it's, you know, something that's really, truly, deeply right for you and that you're wanting, then it's likely to happen, but it may not happen right away, or it may not happen in the way you thought it would. So you have to be very open about that. And to think about if it's something you want, but it doesn't seem to be happening, what's the message there? And then the message is that it's either not the right thing or not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, for example, you know, I talk about in my books and workshops, and I won't go into the whole long story, but basically I came to a place in my life where I really, really wanted to find my right relationship, you know, partnership. And it wasn't happening for a long time. And I couldn't understand why not.
you're good at manifesting.
Yeah, right. And I had often been able to manifest, you know, various things that I wanted. But it became clear to me at a certain point, and I do write about this, that I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready, but I really wasn't. And I had to do some more deep psychological work
mm-hmm.
in order to be able to be ready. And then when I was ready, it really did just come, you know, fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything you all out there, anything that you're wishing for and hoping for and wanting, you know, stay open to that, and also ask yourself what things might be getting in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something more that you need to be conscious of.
Well, and this little idea, just to add to what you're saying, I can remember years ago, I'd always known that I'd wanted to write my own book. And there were several times early on in my coaching business that, you know, I was like, okay, it was on the list of goals, and I would, you know, going to do this and sit down to write it. And I could just tell, it's like, nope, it's not quite ready yet. You know, this isn't quite the topic. It's not quite it, but it's, you know, still holding the intention. And the way my book came about, too, was it really did happen almost in a flow. Like, I didn't have to buckle down and, like, force myself to write the book. When it was time, it really did just pour out.
Yeah.
So I always had this little thought, and it came from you, that, okay, just, you know, honor the flow, honor what's coming through right now.
Yeah.
And there's three elements that you talk about, three elements within us that help determine how successfully we can be with creative visualization.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about desire, belief, acceptance. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say about any of those?
I will say acceptance. No, not particularly. I mean, it's a good thing, but I don't think I have more to comment on
okay.
about it.
Okay. And then maybe one other piece on just creative visualization. You talk about the importance of relaxation and inner peace in manifesting our desires, and why is that important?
Why is it important to have inner peace?
Yeah, relaxation, inner peace, as it relates to creating what we want in our lives. It sort of seems like, you know, we often pursue things in life thinking they'll bring us inner peace and help us relax, but it's sort of reverse.
Right. Because if we start, we get feel, you know, thinking and feeling like we have to make it happen. I've got to make this happen. I've got to make this happen. We can see how that energy is kind of like the energy of fear,
mm-hmm.
rather than the energy of a kind of a healthy wanting or desiring. It's a fear. It's coming from a fearful place. So if you can let go, and it's not always easy because, you know, there are lots of things we really want. And that's fine, and a lot of them are things that we really, really do need and want. But
the energy of fear is not exactly in congruence with bringing
right,
things
right.
we want into
it
our lives.
Push things away rather than draw things toward us.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, though, that doesn't mean we should try to get rid of fear, because you can't get rid of fear. You have to embrace fear as part of the process. So if you know, having some fear or some anxiety about things is really normal and natural and needs to be embraced and accepted.
I think that's so key. So key. Like if we can all just kind of take those words in of just really embracing our fear, allowing it to be there, it's like it's okay, but without getting like focused, you know, just you know, looking at it as though that's the only thing that's in our consciousness and in our life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the whole thing with fear, there's so many various people, teachers and authors and so forth who are talking about trying to let go of our fear or trying to get rid of our fear or, you know, rise above our fear kind of. But I happen to believe that there's a very vulnerable child inside of us that, you know, that is having those feelings, and we need to learn to nurture that child instead of criticizing them.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Let's talk. You also write a lot about inner guidance. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about what it is, how we can hear what it's saying, and help us distinguish it from other voices within us.
Right. And now we're moving more into what we're talking about in living in the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like my job here is to I really am wanting to just find the most fulfilling life that I can for myself. And as I learn various things about how to do that, I like to pass them on, and that's when I write a book.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of summarizes what I had been learning. So in my first book, Creative Visualization, was primarily about, you know, this process we've just been talking about, imagining what you want as if it were true. And that's a wonderful process. But as I worked with it more, then I began to realize, well, you know, it's not just me doing this creating. There's some, you know, creative force within all of us. And how can I tap into that? Because that carries the intuitive wisdom that we have. So beginning to pay attention to what your inner intuitive guidance is saying. Really bringing that into your life is very important.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, with creative visualization, you're deciding something you want and you're imagining it as so, which is a great, you know, tool. But another tool is to sort of reach down inside and feel what do we most need to do right now or want to do, and ask for guidance to show us the way.
Mm-hmm. That kind of moment by moment, what's next?
Mm-hmm. Right. Step by step. And just following what feels right in any given moment. And then, yeah, pretty soon you're walking down the road that you know, you didn't know you were going to.
Right, right. Well, and so then that leads to the big question. It's like, how do we distinguish that from the other voice? Because sometimes we've got the voices of the critical voice and the, oh, you should do this, and the, oh my gosh, that was dumb, or, you know, oh, you're so great. You know, there's like all these other voices. So maybe I know you've got some great guidelines for really helping to tune into the right channel, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, this is fascinating. So I used to think that, I used to use the word voice to refer to an inner intuitive voice. And there is one like that. But then I began to realize as I worked more and more with this that there are a lot of different voices or selves. I call them selves. They're like people, really, that are living in us. We have a certain number, actually an infinite number, but quite a few that are just like important in our lives. And so I forgot.
Yeah, so we've got these different selves in our lives, and that's also what you write about, is that we want to become conscious of these different aspects of ourselves, because really the inner guidance is one piece of us, but there's these other, you know, voices, as you're saying, right?
Now I know where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we begin to get in touch with these different parts of ourselves. And when I did that, it made me realize, okay, so it's not just a voice or a self, it's a group of selves or voices that we have developed. It's how we've developed our personality, is made up of all these different voices, like you mentioned. And we need to learn to be conscious of as many of them as possible, so you recognize which is which. And they're all there to help us live our lives more consciously. So like you were giving the example of a critical inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that. We all have the critic.
Oh, yay.
In varying degrees, depending on how things were in our home life and early on and so forth. So that's a very common one to have, and that's a really difficult one because it's not very nice,
mm-hmm.
and for many of us, it really just can kind of dominate us. So that one, we have to learn how to. Well, all of them, really. You have to learn how to make friends with those voices, and really use them to help and support you in what you're doing. And you actually can begin it to dialogue with the inner critic, or any of the other ones, and you find out a lot about yourself from doing that. For example, another very popular self these days is what I call the pusher, which is the part of us that the pusher's job is to get us going and make us do as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. The achiever, make it happen, the type A part of us, maybe.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an epidemic in the Western world that we are so attached to these pushers. The pushers have taken over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we feel so stressed out so much of the time, because there's this voice in us saying, you got to do this. Oh, my God, you got to do that. And then after. So learn. So it's the pusher is a wonderful self. I mean, it's helped me a lot in my life, and it helps a lot of us to accomplish a lot. But if we do it at the price of the opposite, which is the being energy,
mm-hmm.
the doing energy and the being energy, and we need both of them, but most of us are very much more used to being in the doing energy.
Yeah.
But we need to balance that a little. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but we need to balance with, you know, a certain amount of that opposite energy, because that's what brings us wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can be busy and, you know, doing things, but I have to also include some being energy, which is just being present in the moment, relaxing, being with yourself, being with others, being in nature.
Mm-hmm. So let's even play it out, I know because I know some of the people that are here on today's call listening in, and I certainly can relate to the doing side and the pusher side and the type A, let's make things happen. What might look like the conversation with that part of ourselves to create more space for that beingness, for really taking the time out and being okay with the relaxation and the being present and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a process I love to use that was developed by a couple who are friends of mine and who just have developed a wonderful body of work called the Psychology of Selves.
Mm.
And it's all about how we get in touch with these selves and begin to really work with them consciously. And it's pretty amazing. So, like, if I were going to facilitate you, you know, we would start by talking about what are some of the main selves that you are conscious of in your life, and actually dialogue with them, ask them to talk to you, and tell you what they, you know, what their meaning and purpose is. So if I were facilitating you, I would, you know, ask to find out what some of the parts of you are that sort of dominate your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. We've needed those to take care of us. But now we need to also be able to be flexible with them. So I would ask that part of you to describe to me what it does and what the role it plays in your life. And it would probably say something like, well, I just make sure that she does everything she's supposed to do, and she has a lot to do in this life, and she needs to, you know, really be willing to work hard and achieve and so forth.
Keep moving ahead. Right.
What?
Keep moving ahead and maximizing contribution and making the most of every moment. Exactly. Not wasting any moment, any precious time.
And after I've talked with that one for a while, then I begin to get a sense of, you know, what the conflicts are, because there's another part that's probably buried. There are all these ones that live and manage the outside world for us, and then there are ones that are sort of hidden underneath and that we need to be able to bring out. So in this case, to take an opposite part, if I were to facilitate that, I would ask that part of you that just loves to just be, doesn't want to have to do anything, just wants to have some quiet and, you know, just really let the being energy come in, and make some kind of practice in your life where you can do that. And once you've found out about these selves and worked with them, it's totally amazing what's going on inside of us all the time.
Right, and I can begin to see already just by presencing each one of these parts of ourselves, it's sort of, we can come to appreciate its role, we can have more compassion for its drive and purpose, and yet it sort of lessens its, like the unconscious driver in it, you know, so we can maybe more consciously choose that, okay, you know, great job, driver today. You know, now we're gonna hand the reins over to the being, this person or part of ourselves, and we're gonna enjoy the sunset and just doing nothing for the next while and just really rest into awareness.
Yes.
And then let the being this can go, yay! I love this. Uh-huh. This is so nurturing. Thank you.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Fun. So, well, I was going to say, kind of shift gears to another one of the things that has had a huge impact on me, and you're truly the first person who introduced to me the idea of relationships as mirrors in our lives. And it immediately resonated to me, probably because I'm a Libra rising and my moon's in Libra, so it's...
My sun is in Libra.
Oh, yeah? So it's like, I totally was like, oh, I so see that. But talk a little bit about relationships as mirrors. What does that mean? And, you know, and how do we really use that in our lives?
Let me think here for a minute. Well, if you think about it with all these different cells in us, it makes it start to be easier to understand that because, you know, if there are X number of cells in me and there are all those cells operating in you and we're in a relationship of any kind, by the way, not just romantic relationships, but any kind of relationship you can work with this way. So, you know, just by seeing these few cells that we've been talking about here, you can see how they're really, you know, a big part of your personality and they're really reflecting something. And so we can look at the people in our lives and see them as reflections of parts of us. And like, you know, a classic one, of course, is to be able to see that, let's see here, that I tend to be attracted, let's say, whether it's romantic or friendship or anything else, to somebody who has primary selves that are very different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, at first, let's go ahead and talk about it as a romantic relationship because that makes it really simple and easy to understand.
Right, and it's often where we're most charged and
right.
And the tendency yeah. can be, you know, to just be angry or annoyed at these qualities in them that maybe we have really disowned in ourselves.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, when here's...
So I would... Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to point to maybe a couple, just as pointing to some examples. Maybe you have some other ones, but like lack of responsiveness in a relationship or lack of empathy or maybe your partner gets an outburst of anger or they're not listening. Those are... I hear common, you know, relationship issues.
Yeah, well, what often happens is that we are attracted to somebody who carries those opposite selves from us. And if we can begin to recognize that and become conscious of it, then we can work with that. But it's pretty, you know, most of us don't know really how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you look at, some, let's say you have a partner and you look to see what their primary qualities are. Very often they're opposite from yours. And initially that's what attracts us to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because we each need what the other, we're all trying to be whole. That's my vision is that the soul is carrying us through a journey of developing wholeness, which means we want to embrace everything within us. So we'll always be drawn toward people, certain people or energies that that carry those opposites. So the real reason for that is because we need more of that in ourselves. So, for example, let's take the example we were using a few minutes ago of the doing and being, because that works here really well too. If you are a person who is really driven, you're very likely to, at some point, attract or be attracted to somebody who's more mellow or laid back or kind of relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, you know, at first it's so wonderful because you kind of are reflecting these things to each other, and they're the things that you each need to know. So you're really, you know, getting excited about that. And
then maybe that becomes annoying a little bit later on?
Well, right, exactly. After you begin, you know, being together for a while and all those little irks of life are besetting you. suddenly your partner, with who the ways that they're different from you, can become very frustrating and annoying because you want them to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we're drawn together because we're opposite or different. But you know, as life goes on, we tend to like you said, be you know, annoyed or
reactive in some kind of way.
Right.
So if we recognize, and you know, maybe we've just read the book, Living in the Light, and you know, we're key to this. We're like, oh my gosh, okay. So I totally get the mirror thing, that there's some part that the reason I'm reacting is something within myself. What's really the next step that we can do instead of staying angry or getting annoyed with them? What's the antidote?
It's to look at what it is exactly that's triggering you about the person and recognize that if it's triggering you emotionally, it means there's something to learn from it. It means there's some way that person is probably opposite from you, although not always. But when there's a lot of charge, it's usually because, you know, there's either this a big attraction or a kind of a judgment or pulling away from. So, yeah, then you learn to recognize that very quality that's bothering you is actually something that you need. So the driven personality finds, oh, wow, they really do need time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that your partner is mirroring that for you.
So maybe we can take that almost as a role model, especially if it's something that can be perceived as either negative or positive, like relaxing can be perceived as positive or can be seen as negative, I suppose, if you're a driver and we're like, hey, we need to get something done, we need to clean the house, or but to look at the positive and look at it as, you know, my husband's a great example of this, that uh-huh. when he's working on a project and all of a sudden he's at a point of, like, he needs to rest, like, he can just flip the switch and, like, instantly he can go out, lay on the hammock or pick up a book, and he just unplugs and he just switches gears. And it's like, how useful that he can set this example. I tend to have a little bit more of a transition, but because I've seen him do this, it's like I can develop that quality more in myself. Is that's kind of the idea, right?
Perfect example, yeah. We're really with people in our lives as teachers. They're really meant to be our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we're more in touch with what it is they need to learn from us. You know, they're feeling like you should be more like them. But the truth is we're coming together because we each need a piece of what the other one has.
Right, right. Well, let's take another example, because I love, like, really kind of just driving this down so we can, it might be a little bit easier with some of the more, you know, positive qualities. And maybe the truth is there's some positive qualities to everything, even those of us
everything
that...
Everything is... go ahead.
We're going to say the same thing, right? It's like everything is really a gift.
Yes.
In some way, even anger and even fear, right? I mean, sadness, grief, like hopelessness, like all of them sort of useful in their own way.
Yeah, exactly. And when you recognize that, then you start looking for the qualities that might be more buried, what we call the disowned selves. The ones that are most active and out there in our lives are called primary selves in this system that I'm talking about. And the ones that are more hidden are the disowned selves. And they're hidden because somewhere along the line we got a message that said, don't be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. This is good. That's bad. This is right. This is wrong. We've been taught to look at everything in terms of those opposites. So just learning to appreciate and recognize that they each have their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take one of those. Let's say something like hurt, for example. Hurt pops up. None of us, I don't know, want to go out and try and create situations where we can get hurt. But how could we kind of own the part of ourselves that gets hurt in a particular situation?
Well, the part of us that gets hurt is the part that I call the inner child or the inner vulnerability. And in our culture, it's pretty disowned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you're not really supposed to need or to be too vulnerable, especially if you're a man. Oh, God forbid.
Right, exactly.
Even for us women, in this modern day, anyway.
We're supposed to not need and be vulnerable as well. We're supposed to be powerhouses and go make things happen and not need men.
Exactly. And be embarrassed, then we're embarrassed if we show vulnerability. But deep down in us, it's kind of the deepest part of the personality, actually, is the vulnerable child. And we all have one, and it's all of us have been wounded to some degree in some way. So a big part of this work is to really nurture that child in us and pay attention to his or her needs. And, you know, that's a real process that we have to learn because most of us didn't learn it. So we want to have conscious access and connection to that vulnerability so that we can consciously take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we do that, then,
what does that look like? So somebody that, how might you deal with a hurt now if that arises? What might be a healthy example?
Now I've worked so much with that vulnerability and that I know how to, you know, to a great extent to take care of it. I mean, it's always there, and it's always needing our attention, but we learn how to do that as a part of life, to kind of check in with that vulnerable part. So that has been a disowned self for most of us. We've had the power selves as our primary selves and the vulnerability as our disowned self. And that's because somewhere along the line, somebody told us not to be vulnerable or made it unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very deep thing that we all work with and struggle with, and we can really learn to.
So I don't know if you can describe what it looks like as hurt arises, the way that you be with that inner child, that inner vulnerability. Is it kind of like a voice dialoguing, just acknowledging the hurt and comforting the inner child, or is there something else that you do that sort of helps kind of soothe the hurt in some way in acknowledging it without kind of making it wrong?
Right. Yeah. It's just you can really learn to listen and feel what that child is feeling or needing, or what the hurt part is feeling or needing. And then as the sort of adult, you can, you know, just do whatever the child needs or wants. It will be communicating that if we're willing to listen. So you can check in with them and see what they need or what they're feeling. And it's a great practice, like when you wake up in the morning, you know, just tune in and notice how you're feeling. Notice if there's any anxieties or fears, and if or the famous critic that's there in the mornings for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And the compassionately, thank you for sharing. And
yeah.
Well, and I think it seems like one of the keys is particularly in, say, with hurt or vulnerability, as we check in with those feelings, and what's needed is, instead of expecting someone in the outside world to address that need or automatically mind read that you know, we need this taken care of. It's really being either willing to give it to ourselves or to maybe we do make a request of a partner, but ultimately taking responsibility for it ourselves.
Right. Yeah, and then when the more you take responsibility for it yourself, the more you will draw it to you and other people.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've always tried to do is kind of put our child on the other person's lap and say, here, you take care of it. Take care of me, that part. But as you're saying, you know, ultimately we have to be responsible for those, for taking care of those parts of us ourselves. But then from that place, we can ask. That's part of what we need to do is ask for what we need.
Mm-hmm. I love that metaphor. I'm going to remember that one, is the wanting to give the crying baby to somebody else or, the you know, you handle it. This is your job. And really, we can go through this kind of the same process, whether it's fear or sadness or grief or hopelessness or anger. It's kind of the same process of checking in, kind of dialoguing. I know in Living in the Light, you actually give some kind of some keys on some of the messages of each one of these emotions that kind of helps the dance with these more negative, seemingly negative emotions a little bit easier.
Right. And to talk for a minute about the, quote, negative emotions, you know, the things that we feel that we haven't given ourselves permission, or we haven't been given permission or given ourselves permission to really feel them, and so they've gotten buried. When we bring them out, when we're able to safely begin to bring them out more and express more, then we can... I'm sorry, I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, well, it's really when we can bring them out more. This is all in support of bringing ourselves to a place of wholeness, right? I mean,
yes.
Ultimately, as we dance with each of the seemingly negative emotions or these kind of darker places within ourselves, as we shine a light to each one of these, it's like we're into a place of wholeness. Or more wholeness, right?
Yes, exactly. And embracing all aspects of who we are and finding out then that there's none of them that are wrong. They're all good. They're all needed. Some of them are expressing in kind of a distorted way because they haven't really been acknowledged or expressed, in which case that's what they need is for us to acknowledge them and appreciate them. And then they sort of back off from having to be so much in control all the time and just sort of begin to allow things to flow more.
And that's really...
You find out that the very thing that was disowned self that you were so afraid of is exactly what you need. The disowned ones are the ones that, because they've been buried, they really haven't gotten... much expression, and they're frustrated. but then, when we can start paying attention to them and giving them, you know, what they're wanting and needing, we discover that they're just exactly the perfect medicine that we need.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as we do more of this. This whole idea of living out of a place of wholeness, it's life. I don't know if you can describe what's life like when you're living from a place of more wholeness.
Mm-hmm. You're just more aware of what's going on with these different parts, and. Allowing them to come forth, and as they do that, they kind of show us and guide us, and we guide them.
And we spend a lot less time suffering and in turmoil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and let's, you know, as we're in this path of personal and spiritual growth, and I really want to encourage people on the line, I think it takes a really special person to really decide that you're going to dive in and do that inner work, because it's so easy, there's so many personal growth things out there that can be kind of seemingly the quick fix, which I have found a whole lot less beneficial in the long run, but it's, you know, when you can really leverage a book like Living in the Light and be willing to dive into those vulnerable spots, it's so worth it. Even though there's going to be blocks and there's going to be stuff that come up, maybe any tips for dealing with blocks that come up along the way? I know one of the things that you talk about that can be really helpful is doing group work and helping to clear blocks. So maybe talk a little bit about clearing blocks. And I know you actually had one event that was coming up that's actually already sold out. So I saw that you added another event for March. So maybe talk about blocks and your work.
I've been doing these lovely introductory day-long workshops, and I've had a really good response with them. But what we're saying about blocks, we get blocked because there are two different parts of us wanting different things. So, in other words, let's say a part of you is feeling like you're kind of tired of your job and you might want to do something totally different and feels really excited about that. But then there's another one that comes up that's saying, are you crazy? I mean, this is a great job. It gives you stability and, you know, why would you want to lose that? So there are two opposite selves, and they're both valid. So we have to consider both of them. This is never like right, wrong, or this one's better, that one's worse. It's always acknowledging all of it. So,
yes, and as we acknowledge both sides, we make room for both of those perspectives to come forth. And kind of back to what we were talking before about really hearing what do each one have to say, and just getting curious about each of them, as opposed to stuffing one of those cells like a redheaded stepchild in a closet that you don't really want to hear anything from them.
Right. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your event, seeing how you've got another event added on March 3rd.
About every month.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, that's good to know. So if people stay tuned into your website, this is a great place to be able to come and, you know, really do some of this work live. And what do you really see as the benefit of doing work live versus solo?
Live versus solo? You mean doing it and coming to a workshop as opposed to just reading about it or thinking about it?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, of course we can do a lot of deep work on our own, but I feel like we need help. Nobody gave us the manual, you know, about how to live in a fulfilling way on Earth. So as far as I'm concerned, that's what I'm all about is, you know, I'm not interested really in what happens after this life. We'll see if there's anything or what it is. But I'm really interested in creating the most satisfying life that I can have here on Earth and supporting other people to do that. So, being in contact with other people definitely. Well, for one thing, it certainly triggers all of those selves in us about relationships.
Right, exactly. It's like way more mirrors to walk into a room full of many mirrors.
Yeah, and I do want to emphasize with my work, it's very, very safe. I don't believe in pushing people at all. I don't think people need to be pushed. I think we can really trust the process as it unfolds for us. So So, you know, it's a very, for me, it's a very safe place. I create a safe energy for people. Actually, right now I'm having the little sort of intimate workshops in my beautiful apartment right on the water here.
Oh, wow. How beautiful is that?
It's wonderful, and it's something that I love. Having spent 30 years traveling constantly and working and loving it, but now it's time for me to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been very much enjoying doing that and just having things. I mean, I also from time to time do other workshops, but I like having it right there. Like, I don't have to go out there anymore. If you want to hear what I have to say, you can come to me.
Right. Well, hey, you live in a beautiful part of the world, so if you're going to visit somewhere, California is pretty nice.
It's pretty nice. And I spent a lot of time in Hawaii, too. I lived in Hawaii for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Really great. Yeah. So,
Well, one other thing I was hoping for us to touch upon is you talk about living in the spiritual paradox, which is that idea of being here now while letting go of attachments on one hand, and then simultaneously setting goals and consciously creating the life you want. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this, because I think a lot of spiritual teachers and consciousness discount goals, and it's really just more about, you know, being in just being in awareness and just dropping in consciousness and not worrying about money and, you know, just backing off from all that. So I'd just love to hear you talk a bit about that.
Okay, it's actually one of my favorite topics, but
oh, good.
I haven't gotten it into a book yet, I think, but I'm going to.
Living in the spiritual paradox.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, what we usually think of as spiritual is what I would call transcendent spirituality. And this is both Eastern and Western traditions, where the idea is that sort of like life on Earth is really just, I don't know, maybe a practice ground for a while or something, but what we're really wanting to do is kind of rise above all of that human stuff and, you know, be as open as we can be to this sort of a transcendent view. And most of the time that really leads
often, I don't know if this is where you're going, with lack of having things and a little bit more of, well, not participating in the real world.
Right. I mean, it's where this kind of transcendent experience takes us out of the world, and it also makes a lot of judgments about what's spiritual and what isn't spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, most of us believe and feel that, you know, spirituality is kind of love and light. You know, those are the things that make life spiritual,
right? As opposed to money and work and
as opposed to the just living in the world, you
mm-hmm.
know, working it out to live in the world and at the same time find great fulfillment within.
Mm-hmm.
So so what happens is that the idea of spirituality is, you know, we're always nice, we're always loving, we're always open. We don't have bad feelings and negative feelings. Well, then we're not human. You know, you really, all of those things are the human. To me, the soul, our soul has brought us here to have this human experience that happens to include actually all those amazing things like our minds and our emotions and our physical bodies, and so it's anything that comes from the transcendent tradition is there's a lot of denial.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, and there's denial of the of life on Earth as a human.
Mm-hmm. And you're really a big fan of both having that connection to the our inner guidance and the universal life force energy, and maximizing our experience here, which you've used the word fulfillment quite a bit of times, which is really fulfilling, you know, fulfillment of having an enjoyable journey while on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I so love that you marry those two concepts, and I would love to read a book on living in the spiritual paradox.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a feeling there might be a book in there about that, because it's kind of radical. The truth is, you know, I'm on a path that I think is somewhat different from a lot of people. And because I feel like it really is about embracing all aspects of who we are and really living that fully.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to get away from it. Transcending, so many times transcending is, it's really, we're trying to get away from our human problems because they're so challenging. They're difficult.
Right, right.
Part of us that wants to go, okay, forget about this. Let's just, you know, transcend it all. But of course we can't. We would have to just leave our bodies or something to do that, because if you're going to live on Earth, you have to have a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And to that you're living in.
Yeah, and body, human body, and relationships, and figuring out how you're going to dance with finances and money and all the other wonderful things. One of our guests on Conversations with the Masters is Robert Masters, who wrote Spiritual Bypassing, which is, of course, the this exact concept you're talking about, right? Denying certain human aspects in the name of spirituality.
Right. And then there are things like why the gurus, the big gurus, and the Eastern tradition, and the you know, ministers or whatever in the Western tradition, they all end up having inappropriate sexual energy
devotees or students. Yes.
Because that's a disowned self.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
Because we believe somehow that that those things are bad or negative things, and whatever we push away always keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It comes back some way or another, and so hopefully we've inspired a few people to, instead of letting them control us and pop out in not so healthy ways, that, you know, really to dive in. Before it was, since we're at the top of the hour, a few minutes past, I appreciate actually the extra few minutes with you. Before we do, kind of just any final comments you might have to share, I wanted just to share with our listeners that I'm just so excited that you have offered all of our listeners a 30% discount on your book, Living in the Light. If it's ordered through New World Library, through their website, through the end of January. Actually, you can either call or you can go to their website, newworldlibrary.com. And if you use the code LIVING, capital LIVING, you can save 30%, which I promise you that a $10.46 investment in your consciousness and spiritual development is more than worth that. So take advantage of that before the end of January, and we'll include that link and the 1-800 number and the follow-up notes so you can take full advantage of that. And I really thank you, Shakti, for extending that to our listeners. That was really generous. And so any just final thoughts as we wrap up for today? And I just really thank you for your time. I know you don't do lots and lots of interviews, and I really feel so honored that you would come and share your energy and your insights, having, you know, so much experience in this, and really have, you know, you're really a person that walks the talk, and I so know from reading your books how you've done the work and really set the example for so many of us. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. It's been a total pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. We like to have as fun as possible with our guests. So any final thoughts as we wrap up
for
today?
Thanks for reminding me all my forgetting.
That's okay. I'm so familiar with your work. It makes it fun. It's absolutely. So that sometimes happens with interviews. I do the same thing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally relate to that. But any final thoughts as we wrap up for today?
Just to know that you have within you the wisdom that you need to really live your life as it's meant to be. And if you keep paying attention and trusting that inner wisdom, it will become a very, for you, many of you, it probably already is, a very wonderful guiding force on a real practical day-to-day level, you know, helping us know what step to take when.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the main message of the Living in the Light book. Developing an inner intuitive sense of guidance that will help us
I love that as a final thought, and I really want to invite everyone, even starting from the moment we hang up from this call, really to take that on even throughout the rest of today, is really, you know, checking in even more than you might normally do, checking in with guidance, following it, seeing where it takes you, and allowing that signal to grow stronger and stronger in your life. And I also just want to mention, too, as I noticed this on Shakti's website as well, that you are also available for, you do some one-on-one coaching as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something else, I saw that, I'm like, oh, I think I may want to give you a call and take advantage of the fact that you're making yourself available to those of us on the path. So,
yeah, well, working with people is my delight and my passion. I just love being with people, and I love seeing what happens when people, you know, come in and are open, and all the really incredible changes that can happen that way.
Well, thank you for your commitment to this work and for being a catalyst in millions of people's lives. I'm so grateful that you took what was coming through you and put it onto paper, and just thank you, and I look forward to continuing to, you know, spread your message out into the world. And I just want to thank all of our listeners. We've got so many, everyone on the line, even though we're still over the a little over our time. I'm going to just open up the line so you may thank Shakti yourselves for a wonderful call and her time here today. And so we've got the lines open.
Thank you, Shakti.
Thank you, Shakti.
Thank you, Shakti. Thank you, Shakti. You mean the world to me, really. It's a privilege to hear your voice.
All right.
Sounds on the line.
Yeah, there's so many lines. It's a little loud, so we'll close that up.
Thank you all for coming in. I love you.
Oh, well, thank you. Looking forward to more love and light, and thank you for being such an inspiration, and we'll see you all on the next call. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.